Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. If you ever have the misfortune to be near a nuclear attack, a new report suggests the help you need won't be there. Physicians for Social Responsibility is taking a look at what would happen if there were a nuclear attack or a radioactive dirty bomb explosion in New York, Washington, or Chicago. What they're finding is that while tens of thousands could die at the epicenter of the attack, thousands more could be saved if better planning were to be put in place. The key to that, getting quick medical treatment and proper advice on evacuating to people downwind. According to the report, the Department of Homeland Security lacks plans on both those fronts. In the New York example, the group says there are no plans to evacuate or shelter 200,000 people downwind of a blast in Lower Manhattan. A spokesman for Homeland Security dismisses the report as lacking, quote, a grasp of reality. He says the government can track a blast within an hour and then get resources to those at risk. Little comfort to those who saw the federal response to Hurricane Katrina a year ago. A United Nations diplomat says key European nations plan to meet with Iran in September in a last effort to end the standoff over Iran's nuclear program. A Security Council resolution gave Iran till today to stop enriching uranium or open the door to sanctions. But UN nuclear watchdogs say there is no sign of a freeze in Iran's nuclear operations. The senior diplomat says the Security Council plans to wait till after next month's meeting before acting on sanctions. George Bush today told an audience in Utah there must be consequences for Iran's defiance. When United Nations peacekeepers arrive in southern Lebanon, Italy's prime minister says he has been assured Israel will start withdrawing its military. Romano Prodi says Israel's deputy prime minister has confirmed the Israeli army does intend to start pulling back once the multinational force is at least 5,000 strong. In Rome, for a meeting with Prodi, Shimon Peres also told Italian TV he is hopeful the UN forces will prevent a new outbreak of violence in southern Lebanon. Rome is contributing the largest contingent to the U.S. force in Lebanon and will take over command from France next year. The UN taking a step it hopes will end the violence in Sudan that's killed tens of thousands of people, but there are big questions about how effective it will be. The Security Council approved a resolution giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in Darfur. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werbe here with you, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. Hope everybody's doing well. Thanks for all the email you've been sending me. Really appreciate that. Oh, I've been getting back to a number of you. You know, it occurred to me that I'm going to be doing this show tonight and then tomorrow night, and that's it. A couple people said, like, you know, kind of nicely, not like this, but like, who the hell are you? Where did I come from? Did I drop from the sky? You know, well, I'm, as I said, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. I'm the public affairs director for a group of three stations in the Motor City, and I have a regular talk show there and do interview shows and stuff like that, write up public service announcements. But my big love is talk shows. I've done full-time talk. I've done part-time talk. And I've been doing it for quite a while here in Detroit. So I appreciate everyone listening and all your kind words. If you want to check me out more, peterwerbe.com, W-E-R-B-E.com, because a number of people have said, hey, I want to listen to you more, and I really appreciate that. The other thing is, if you go to my website, because this conversation we had last night about fascism, and suddenly, how the hell did this just appear on the horizon, on the agenda, on everyone's lips? Well, it's this full court press by the people who are ideologically very close to fascism. It's, what is it, the old pot calling the kettle black, right? And we talked about that a lot. And I read the 14 points of fascism, and I thought, and some of you said, hey, where do I get that? And I just said, Google it. But there's a very interesting version of it that I think a great number of you will appreciate. It's a spoken word, and along with a video, a little video on it. So, and it's, there's a picture. There's one of my favorite Bushes. He's got you check it out, but it's got German on it. Oh, excuse me, I've never even pronounced German before on the air. Ein tausend Jahr Krieg. Hey, anybody else want to do it better for me? 866-303-2270. Ein tausend Jahr Krieg. Thousand year war. Because that's what Bush is talking about, right? This war is going to be around. Troops are going to be in Iraq after he has left the presidency. Well, what I would like to see is him leave the presidency like in the next 5 days, and then we'll take maybe another 5 days to get out of there and stop all this madness, stop this slaughter that he initiated based on all these lies, right? And also, if you've ever wanted a list of the 14 points of fascism and get a little, you know, hold it up like you can do on screen, you can have two websites up at the same time. You can kind of look at that and then look at what we've got going here. Another very interesting article that's on there on the screen when you go to peterwerbe.com, it's how Bush's grandfather helped Hitler's rise to power. That's right. And this is not just some, you know, nasty liberal ad hominem argument against the sitting president. But according to the Guardian of London, rumors of a link between the U.S. First Family and the Nazi war machine have circulated for decades. Now the Guardian can reveal the repercussions of events that culminated in action under the Trading with the Enemy Act, and they're still being felt by today's president. Well, I'm not going to read you the whole article, but hopefully that tantalizes you enough. So it's Peter Werbe, peterwerbe.com. In about 25 minutes or so, we're going to be talking with Scarlett. That's the only name I have. He, she, don't know which is, or both, is going to be talking to us tonight from San Francisco. And they're going to speak about freeway blogging. And you go, what? What the hell is that? Well, if you want to get a little advance on it, you can go to freewayblogger.com. That's two G's. And at 11:30 Eastern time, you do the math, depending on where you are in the country or in the world. Reese Ehrlich will join us. He has reported from Iran and the Middle East for 20 years. He's writing a book called The Iran Agenda. And don't you know there is an agenda? Tonight, very close to Detroit, well, actually, it's a bit of a ride, 50 miles probably from downtown, but we still call it Detroit. There is something called the DTE Energy Center, where Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young is holding forth, and they are on a nationwide tour. And Air America, you can go to airamerica.com for this. There's a CSNY Freedom of Speech 06 contest, and the winner is posted there. And I saw the set list today because I'm doing this from a rock and roll station in Detroit, who are very kind enough to let me have their studio. And the set list is a lot of the Neil Young songs from the latest, all of a sudden, it's Life During War, isn't that the name of it? Which includes the song Impeach the President, and they sing that as well. Now, I'm sort of talking out of school here, but I think it's okay, and actually I don't care either, that at one of the stations in the group that I'm the public affairs director for in Detroit, they said, hey, yeah, classic rock, let's do an interview with Graham Nash. So Graham Nash, all he wanted to talk about was politics. And the interviewer, one of the DJs, the classic rock DJs, said, come on, can't you just lighten up, do a little music? And Graham Nash was all over him. So he said, man, all right, let's talk to Crosby. Crosby, that's all he wanted to talk about was politics, to the point that they didn't even use the interview. So these guys are way down with the program, getting rid of Bush Co., replacing this racket that rules us in Washington and putting in a government that at least gives a little bit to the people. I don't think we've ever gotten too much more than that. We make a big deal out of a lot of these past Democratic governments, but they gave us a little, which is better than a stick in the eye, and that's exactly what we have now. Okay, let's, and by the way, yeah, I forgot, you can join me, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270 is our phone number, and wow, you guys are already on the phone, aren't you? And when I say guys, I mean both genders. I'll start off in an odd way. This was in the Washington Post today. I mean, I can't believe this stuff. One of the things, if I wasn't just so ADD, and I need Tom Hartman for this. Tom Hartman, one of the great talk show hosts in America, he's written books about ADD, and he says that this is a good business for us ADDers to be in, because put me like as an accountant, I'd probably go mad. So the fact that I can talk about something different every 2 minutes really suits my personality. But if I wasn't so ADD, I probably would start at some point. Maybe one of you could take this on as a project. I actually don't have the email in front of you, but I mentioned something about having a researcher. Somebody very nicely wrote in and offered. But one of the research projects that I think about is toting up the amount of money spent by us, the taxpayer, on things like I'm going to read. Now, there's the big sum. We know that. What is it? $8 billion a month being flushed down a rat hole in Iraq. And somebody, what did I just heard? Was it about a minute? $33 million a minute? Does that make sense? Somebody that can do math, tell me about that. But how about this one? Now, I don't even understand why it's being initiated in the manner that it is. U.S. military leaders in Baghdad have put out a bid for a 2-year, $20 million public relations contract that calls for extensive monitoring of U.S. and Middle Eastern media in an effort to promote more positive coverage of news from Iraq. Oh, man! Did they say $20 million? You know, teachers are on strike here in Detroit, where I'm from, because the school is trying to cut $90 million out of their pay packages because they say they don't have any money. I mean, teachers say they do, and they probably have a lot more than they're admitting to. But think about $20 million, or in your community, what impact that it would have, instead of sending it out for extensive monitoring to promote more positive coverage of news from Iraq. It's like spin. And the deal is, I mean, we've seen this over the years, last few years, the U.S. pays for good news coverage. I mean, isn't that just pimping? Isn't that just Izvestia, Pravda? This is what we've devolved down into. And I don't understand. One of the things I don't understand, why doesn't someone sue them? I mean, why doesn't a Democrat get up in Congress? Sometimes they do, like Henry Waxman of California. Of course, when he does, it rarely gets reported. But why don't somebody have like this litigious agenda? That's all they do is sue when stuff like this happens. The contract calls for assembling a database of selected news stories and assessing their tone as part of a program to provide public relations products that would improve coverage of the military command's performance, according to a statement of work attached to the proposal. The request for bids comes at a time when the Bush administration officials are publicly criticizing the media's coverage of the war in Iraq. So, give them some money, and maybe they'll do some positive stuff. Who knows? It's bribery. And that's what our tax dollars are going for, rather than to help our cities and our country, our towns, our neighborhoods. Think of all that's lacking here. Well, I see many of you are calling already. That's what it's all about. I'm Peter Werby, and we do have a couple guests, but mostly I'm going to depend on you for your ideas and questions and what have you. It's 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on the Air America Radio Network.
They say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space. In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. Well, that's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Welcome back. Peter Werbe here with you, broadcasting from Detroit on the Air America Radio Network, 866-303-2270. Bush said today, President Petro Main, because remember, passing gas in front of people is one of his big chuckles, right? President Petro Main in Salt Lake City said the war against Islamic militants was like last century's fight against Nazis and communists, and that a U.S. withdrawal from Iraq would lead to its conquest by America's worst enemies. Well, you know, he sure put this all together, didn't he? The only place he speaks, like he's out in Salt Lake City, he's talking to the American Legion, and he's got a series of speeches on all of this. He's going to talk in Washington on Tuesday before the Military Officers Association of America. He won't even come out. He won't even come out in front of the public, the general public. Apparently, there's another demonstration there in Salt Lake City. Again, I wonder if Rocky Anderson, the mayor of Salt Lake City, was leading it like he did the other day. My report's 4,000 people out there. Some of you folks listening in, did I say Santa Fe? Salt Lake City. Why did Santa Fe pop into my brain? Salt Lake City. Right. If any of you are listening in Salt Lake City, give us a call. Bush talking about many people are frustrated with the unrelenting violence in Iraq, do you think? Like most of us, like two-thirds of us. And that some are calling for a timetable for withdrawal. And President Petro Main says many of these folks are sincere and they're patriotic. But they could not be more wrong. Why? He never says why. I mean, he's just and all this fascist stuff, this is all coordinated. It's tied in with the Iran thing. And they're going to drop the bomb on us. I mean, they're going to drop the political bomb on us. They're going to drop the fear bomb on us. They're going to drop the manipulative bomb on us. And it may be the form of dropping a lot of bombs on Iran right before the election. But I don't know. This, you tell me what you think, because this is beginning to gel. These people don't do anything by accident. It's all coordinated. Let's take some calls right now. It's John in California. John, hi. It's Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network.
Hello, Peter. You sound good from California.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to tell you, just if you study history, and I'm sure you have, and in all your hosts and a lot of people out there, if you look at a defeated nation when they start losing a war, and it happened in Vietnam as well for us, although some would argue that we didn't lose, it was a draw, but, you know. Anyway, the point is that...
We killed more people, but they won.
We killed a million Vietnamese, but we still pulled out and didn't win.
Yeah.
The fact is, when you start losing a war, you look at history, and the Nazis did this, and a lot of other countries as well. They start blaming the appeasers, they start blaming the media, they start blaming everybody, they call everybody a traitor, and their accusations... the more they lose, get more and more ridiculous. And this is just what's happening with this. I think the repubs and the wing nuts feel this is their war, and they're basically fighting it all by themselves, and they're blaming the rest of the country that won't go along with them.
I agree.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I agree. They are desperate. Thank you, John. Here's Chris in Eugene, Oregon. Chris, hi. It's Peter Werbe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Oh, glad to be on the air. You know, the Bush crime family, there's no end to these people. I mean, you know, they don't seem anything other than their own little agenda.
Well, you know, I know what you meant, but let's be real precise. Their big agenda. They have a big agenda, a massive agenda. It doesn't have anything to do with the needs or rights or interests of the common people either here or across the world,
mm-hmm.
but it's a massive agenda.
Also, big kudos to our good friend Mike Malloy. Let's get him back on the air as soon as possible, baby. We love
him. All right. Thank you very much. Let's see here. One of the things I wanted to remind people about, and thanks to John, is Vietnam. Remember, it's so similar. They were saying that if Vietnam falls, there'd be this domino effect. The communists would soon be marching into Manila, then into Honolulu, and soon into San Francisco and Los Angeles. And it's the exact same thing. If we don't fight them there, we're going to have to fight them here. This is absolutely insane. This is, John's word, wingnut politics. And one of the things, though, you have to realize, while Bushco, this whole group of criminals that cheated and lied their way into the White House and then cheated and lied their way into this war, You never know what's really going on, because in 1972, while publicly Nixon and Kissinger and the rest of those war criminals were saying that we can never withdraw from Vietnam, this is the battle with the communists and all of that, that Kissinger was sitting in a room with the Chinese premier, Zhou Enlai, telling him, yeah, we could live with a communist government in Indochina, you know, particularly in Vietnam. But we had to have a little space so that the defeat doesn't get attributed to us and we're harmed politically. So while maybe your dad or granddad or you or someone you know was slogging through those rice paddies in 71 and 72, they'd already talked about getting out. And it could be the same thing now, that these lying manipulators, these people that play on our fears, they could just be saying, well, wait a minute, the most important thing here now is to cut our losses, but we got to win the election in November. All right, we're going to be back with a freeway blogger tell you how you can go out in your own neighborhood and make a difference. Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a 4-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a 3-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that'll help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Welcome back to Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. We're going to do a guest now, but almost, I would say every one of you on the call screen here, I want to talk to. So please, please hold on. Let's go to Scarlett. I think Scarlett is in San Francisco. Am I correct?
Yes, this is Scarlett.
Hi, Scarlett. Are you the person I've interviewed before?
Probably. I'm the guy who puts the signs up on the freeway.
The freeway blogger. But didn't you have a, maybe this is your nom de guerre, your war name. All right, we'll go with it. We'll go with it, Scarlett. No problem. Tell us what a freeway blogger is.
Well, you know, freeway blogging is something that came to me when I asked myself, what is the most efficient way of reaching the greatest number of people? And what I came up with is, well, you put signs on freeways. And, you know, it turns out that if you put up the 5 or 10 signs on a couple of freeways, at the end of the day, you've reached 500,000 people, and it's cost you about, you know, $5. And so
signs like that, like get out of Iraq.
Get out of Iraq, or just the war is a lie. Osama been forgotten. We're all wearing the blue dress now. It's free speech. I can say whatever I want. You know?
Oh, I love that.
Hey. Yeah, just you know, I'd seen enough of No Blood for Oil and Stop the War.
I thought
it was time to expand a bit, creatively in the field.
Folks, if you want to see this, you can go to Freeway Blogger, two G's, freewayblogger.com as we're talking. And give us an idea of the scope. I'm stunned when I go to your website of how many people are doing it across this country.
Well, they're trying. If all of them were doing it like I was, though, by God, the entire complexion of the nation would be changed. You wouldn't be able to drive anywhere without seeing something that someone had to say about something. So, and that's what I'm aiming for with this project.
That doesn't give us the scope, really. I mean, are we talking about dozens, hundreds, thousands? How many people have been doing freeway blogging, or how many signs?
I've gotten, you know, from, you know, time to time, I've gotten probably, over 2,000 people to hang at least a sign or two. But it's the ones who really get it are the ones who realize, hey, you know, I can keep doing this. You know, nothing can stop me. So one person can easily reach 500,000 people in a day. And that's not even trying very hard. It turns out that freeways, a downtown 5-lane stretch of freeway has 300,000 people pass by it every day. And that is as captive an audience as you'll get, too, because they're stuck in their cars.
Yeah, now, you from time to time have these kind of spurts, if you will, of blogging. So you got one coming up this weekend, Labor Day weekend. And so what are you calling for this weekend?
This weekend we're going to try to put the word impeach in front of people's eyeballs, because if we wait around for the media to cover the fact that about 85 million of us want the guy impeached, you know, we'll be waiting a long time. But if you want to let your fellow citizens know that you would like the president impeached, it's really very easy. And it's the reason why Mr. Jefferson Paine in Washington gave us the right to free speech.
Yeah, now, the police don't always agree, though, right, if you're hanging signs on freeway overpasses and stuff?
If they catch you in flagrante, they might ask you to take it down. Although here in San Francisco, they're a pretty cool lot, I have to admit. I've had cops catch me right in the act and say nothing of it. That may not happen in Macon County, Georgia, however. So,
hey, to your website, freewayblogger.com, have people reported arrests? Has there been people anywhere that you know of that have actually taken busts for putting up signs on the freeway?
No, you can't. See, what happened 5 years ago, pretty much 5 years ago today, is all those American flags started going up on freeway overpasses, and God bless them, too. Because they paved the way to make the freeways as political forums. And if you were ever taken to court, there's no court in the land at this point who would charge you or arrest you. On the other hand, you can't expect every cop on the beat to be a First Amendment law scholar. So what I do is just, you know, in the five or six occasions I've had to talk to police, I've just been the nicest person they could imagine and done everything they said. Now, mind you, that's I've been caught five or six times in over 2,500 signpostings. So
wow.
It's almost a non-issue, really. Remember, you pick the time, you pick the place, and anywhere, anything alongside a freeway is fair game. If you put a sign there, people are going to see it because, hey, there's a sign there, you know?
Yeah, well, Scarlett, give us a little technical advice on freeway blogging. In other words, you said maybe for $5. One thing, if you put a sign, if you take like a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and put impeach on it and then put it somewhere, no one's going to see it, right?
They'll see it if it's close enough, but it's also saying, hey, I cared enough to, you know, write impeach on an 11.5, you know, on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
When you put a sign up, it says two things. One, it says whatever you're trying to say. But two, it says that somebody cared enough to speak out and make sure that you read it, you know, and someone felt they had the right to speak out politically. And as it turns out, speaking out politically, signposting specifically on public property, is one of the most protected rights we have. And it amazes me that we don't use it.
Hmm. Now, a big sign is better, obviously. And you don't have to put...
Not true.
Okay,
a big sign, and this is a mistake we've made a lot, a big sign creates a spectacle, and it comes down very quickly as a result of that. If, however, you put a small sign, one that's big enough to be read, and place it kind of obliquely, not on an overpass, but on that tree over there, or on the fencing that's in between the bushes and the freeway and the mall, those signs stay up for days, and they're seen by hundreds of thousands of people. So I try whenever I can just to put little reminders along the periphery, and it reminds people that we are engaged in a war that is, you know, destroying our nation's military and respect around the world. But also I'm reminding people that, you know, they're allowed to speak out. You can do this. It's the easiest thing in the world.
That's extraordinarily important. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us, Scarlett. Again, I'll urge people to go to Freeway Blogger, 2 G's, freewayblogger.com. And, you know, actually there is a link on my site as well, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E.com. Go down the left side and it says resistance or something like that, and you'll get to your site as well. But directly, freewayblogger.com. Scarlett, thanks for joining us. Any
cardboard, cardboard and paint is pretty much all it takes. And if I can leave with one final thought.
Sure thing.
They don't hate us for our freedom. They hate us for our incredible good looks.
Thank you, Scarlett.
Take it easy.
Thanks
Peter.
For joining us.
And remember,
on
the word is impeach.
Gotcha. Yeah, in fact, folks, that's all you really need, because there's no reason to have to put like a lot of other words around it. There's no one's going to suspect it means anything else other than what it is. Let's go to Bill in Madison, Wisconsin. Sounds like he's got something interesting to tell us, as most of you do. Go ahead, you're on the air. Thanks for calling 866-303-2270. Bill, you're
Hello.
On the air. Hey, Bill.
Hey, sorry about that.
That's all right. Go ahead.
All right. Having to do with the war in Iraq, recently a first lieutenant denied to go to Iraq. He said no, and for that, he is looking at facing 7 years in military prison. Now, he did serve in Afghanistan. However, when he was called to go to Iraq, he did some research on his own, and he found that he came to believe that the war in Iraq was an illegal war, and that's what he's making his case on, because he has an obligation as an officer to refuse to enter into an illegal war, obviously due to the war crimes that would be associated with it and that he would be punished for later on.
Hey, Bill, just out of curiosity, how did you learn about this?
I learned about it on a talk radio show. I forget which one. It was on
on
last night. I listen to talk radio all the time at work. So.
Okay, because I was thinking last week I interviewed him. It's Lieutenant Watada. And he has a website. It's called Thank You LT, like Lieutenant, the abbreviation for Lieutenant. So you can go to thankyult.com. And you're right. He is now facing desertion charges, and a grand total since 2001, there's been about 40,000 desertions from the American Army. Bill, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Here's Bob in West Virginia. Bob, hi, it's Peter Werby. Hey, Bob, are you with me?
Great show.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, I tell you what, these neocons have proved that they are incompetent at running wars. This is obvious through Iraq. Now, what I'm wondering is, I hear speculation that out of Cheney's office, plans on bombing Iran. Now, we have these ex-military generals and generals who basically are saying these neocons don't know what the hell they're doing. So, is it possible that there could be some type of coup?
Coup? Gee, I hope not. No, I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be a coup. And
basically a reining in of Bush, a reining in of the neocons.
It's interesting, Bob. One thing I don't know about, I know towards the end of the U.S. military involvement in Vietnam, there were great numbers of mutinies, in assassinations, fraggings of officers increased. Just in guys were wearing peace armbands at the same time we were marching here in the United States. But I know there was great concern within the armed forces, within the staff, the general staff, that they were losing the army. But how they worked that in terms of pressure on the criminal Nixon, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I'm gonna look that up. See, I do need my friend the researcher. Bob, thanks for joining us on the Air America Radio Network. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. We'll be open line for the next bit, so please join us. I'm Peter Werby.
Have you ever met someone, shaken their hand, and the second you let go, you can't remember their name? Short-term memory loss is a natural part of aging, but forgetting names, dates, and misplacing things can be frustrating. In business, it can cost you money. Fight back with MemoProve, the new once-a-day tablet developed over 10 years by a pharmaceutical company using proprietary neuropeptides, clinically shown to improve memory. In just 30 days, MemoProve will boost your short-term memory by at least 15%, guaranteed. Call right now to find out how you can get a 3-month supply of MemoProve free. 1-888-665-MEMO. That's 1-888-665-MEMO. This is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-888-665-MEMO. 888-665-MEMO.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter, I can say my own name. Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. You know, I did that. These screens here, you know, it used to be just open a microphone. Now I've got, this is a small room that I'm broadcasting from in Detroit. So there's only four screens that I'm looking at, usually rather than five or six. And Air America engineers, you know I love you guys. You know I couldn't do this without you. But they always have engineers design studios rather than the people that are going to be on the air. And, for instance, in this room, the guests would sit behind me. So I, you know, the mic, I'm looking one way, and the guests would be looking into the back of my head. But what that has to do with my throat catching like that is the screens are set up, so I have to kind of stretch my neck. All right, you don't care about that stuff. We had the freeway blogger on, and Rocco writes in, how about a big impeach sign on the overpass on the New York State Thruway, halfway between New York City and Albany, New York? I've been down that road a lot of times. There are a few I have in mind between exits 18 and 19. Look for them Saturday sometime facing north and south. So if you're just joining us, you can go to Freeway Blogger. That's with two G's. freewayblogger.com and see what the whole deal is. Essentially, it's just putting up signs on the freeway. All right, let's go to Joan. Joan's in, I love it, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Every time I see the word Santa Fe, Joan, I want to come back and visit you folks. Go ahead.
You're most welcome. Just two real quick things. First, I'd like to see the word petrofascist catch on, because that is what the Bush crime family and all the people who support it are. It's petrofascist. Petro, of course, standing for petroleum.
Joan, I am stealing this from you. I will not. I will steal it just like a thief in the night. I will not give you credit. I'm going to do my Sunday show in Detroit, and I'm going to say Bush is a petrofascist.
Oh, great.
But that's not to be confused with the Peto Maine.
Well, it's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah, the Petro fascist. I love it.
And the other quick thing, I really like the freeway blogger, Dr. Donna Allen, who many years ago founded Women's Institute for Freedom of the Press. She always used to say that the freeways are a good example of the way our electronic media should be run, or the airwaves, that is. In other words, anybody just about can get on the freeways with a vehicle, an expensive Porsche, or just a little nothing car, and you can get on those freeways, and that's the way the public airwaves ought to be. They ought to operate like the freeways, because they belong to us all. And I just was thrilled to hear about this guy. So
yeah, that's great. And Donna Allen, an unsung heroine of the Peace and Social Justice
Movement.
Yes,
the founder of Women's Institute for Freedom of the Press, really wonderful person. She passed away a few years ago.
Oh, she did. I didn't know
that. It was absolutely, she did a lot of important work in the area of media.
She did.
And the only other thing is, the first thing I've heard today was this thing about Mike Malloy. What's going on? Did I miss something? Or
I'll tell you what. Go to his website, or go to my website, peterwerby.com, PETERWERBE.com. It's all there, okay? Thank you, Joan. Appreciate it. Let's see. Frank in Los Angeles. Frank, hi. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, how you doing? First of all, let me just tell you, you're a pretty cool cat. I've listened to you from time to time as you're floating on Air America. But I got to tell you, this little move by Air America Radio to, like, a thief in the night, fire Mike Malloy.
Well, you know, this is really an appropriate place to talk about it, and you're putting me in really an untenable position, because that's not the way things go in the radio world. I'm a substitute. I'm here at the sufferance of the people in Air America. And if you want to have me substituting, let's do this show in terms of the issues that present themselves here, and deal with the other stuff appropriately off the air. And if you want to know a very effective way to do it, as I say, go to my website, peterwerby.com, W-E-R-B-E.com. All right, thank you. I appreciate that greatly. It's Jesse in San Diego. Jesse, hi. It's Peter Werby. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Doing excellent.
Hey, you know, Bush is a Democrat.
He's a Democrat, huh?
Yeah, he's a Lieberman Democrat.
He's a petro-fascist.
Lieberman Democrat. So what are we going to do after we take back the House? I think the Democrats should get ready to do some House cleaning on the next election of all these people that let Alito get by and, you know.
How about voting for the war? Maybe we should broom out Hillary and Kerry and Edwards kind of cleaned it up, and I guess Kerry did as well. But the ones that still haven't said, gee, I made a big mistake. And, you know, it wasn't a mistake. Every one of those Democrats that voted for the war knew this was total BS. They were just,
you know,
they had aspirations to go on to greater offices, and they didn't want that haunting them. Instead, their vote for the war haunted them.
Well, if the Democrats would have blocked Alito, they still wouldn't have had a Supreme Court guy in now, and everything Bush had screwed up to this point would have screwed up anyway. They'd have been in the driver's seat.
Well, we'll see. I think it's important that the Republicans lose their majority in both houses, but we're not going to usher in nirvana with the reassumption of power of the Democrats. We need a popular, powerful people's movement that puts forth a vision of how we want this country tremendously changed. A revolution. How about that? Not one with guns, not one that's authoritarian, but actually goes the other way, that goes away from the authoritarianism of the petro-fascists. See, Joan, I stole it already. Of the petro-fascists that are running this country for the benefit of this wealthy elite. No, we ain't going to take it. And we've got examples throughout history how people like us have changed history. Let's do it again. Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. I'll be back. Got some open lines. We're open line for the next half hour. 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Avacor. Today, Avacor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong because only Avacor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacor will double your order. Call Avacor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's
1-800-884-6270. I'm Bill Crowley. George Bush says Iran is guilty of defiance and delay over its nuclear program, and he insists there must be consequences. Today's the UN deadline for Iran to stop enriching uranium, but Iran's president says his country will now bow to what he called bullying. At the American Legion Convention in Salt Lake City today, Bush said the world now faces a grave threat from Iran, one that would only be worse if they had the bomb. He says Iran's clerics are also aiding insurgents in Iraq, backing Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon, and denying human rights to their own people. Those are some of the strongest words yet from Bush as U.S. diplomats work on possible sanctions against Iran. In that same speech in Utah today, Bush said the U.S. is fighting more than a military battle in the war on terror. While comparing terrorists to Nazis, Bush says the war against Islamic fundamentalism is the decisive ideological struggle of this century. Democrats say this new round of Bush speechmaking will not change what they describe as a failed policy. About 100 passengers and crew members are safe after their plane's landing gear caught fire at Miami International Airport today. The escape slides were deployed, passengers and crew evacuated. A U.S. Airways spokesperson says two of the plane's tires blew out after landing, and a small fire ignited on one of them. NASA will try again next Wednesday to launch the space shuttle Atlantis. The decision came after an inspection of the Kennedy Space Center following the pass by Tropical Storm Ernesto. Officials found no damage. At one point on Tuesday, NASA started to move the shuttle back to the Vehicle Assembly Building. But as the storm forecast improved, the shuttle turned around and brought back to the launch pad. The launch now set for 12:29 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday. If liftoff doesn't take place then, NASA has launch opportunities in the 2 days after that. The six astronauts on Atlantis are to resume construction on the International Space Station. Meanwhile, the Russian Space Agency is pushing back its next launch of a crew to the International Space Station by 4 days. A spokesman did not specify the reason for the new September 18th launch date, but the delay helps avoid an outer space traffic jam. Two Russian cosmonauts and a Spanish-born American astronaut are scheduled to arrive at Space Station Alpha right after Shuttle Atlantis makes its visit there. So the delay in the Atlantis launch to next week means now a delay in the Russian launch. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you, broadcasting from Detroit. A couple more hours tonight and then tomorrow, and I'm through for a while. Appreciate all of you calling in at 866-303-2270. I said something about classic rock before, and there we go, Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. We were talking about the petro-fascists, and I said I wasn't going to give any credit to Joan from Santa Fe, who ran the phrase bias, but what the hell. Tonight I will, then I'm stealing it flat out. Randy, I love this. She her subject header on her email said, Peter, bumpkin beater. All right. I like that. So the petro-fascists are trying to bait and switch again, trying to frighten the bumpkins into thinking it's just that thin line of petro-fascism, the Republican Party, that stands between them and them coming here. That's confusing, isn't it? But that's their line, is either we have to fight them there or they're going to follow us here. Total nonsense. Think about the Vietnam analogy. Same crap they were running then. The same people. The absolute same people. Either they're ideological heirs or, in some cases, some of the same ones. And Bush in here said, he noted he had this speech today. You know, nobody called in from Salt Lake City because there was a demonstration there the other day when Secretary of War Rumsfeld was there. Maybe it was just when the convention was opening. I don't have any of this in front of me, so I could use your help on this. And Mayor Rocky Anderson, who's incredibly anti-war, led a demonstration there. And there may have been one there today when Bush did another one of his fear-mongering, not only fear-mongering about the war, that's just going disastrously, and also the casting aspersions, as Secretary of War Rumsfeld did, about the moral censuring of people that are critics. Well, two-thirds of us are critics. The only people lagging behind in this is the Congress, although many of them are starting to get nervous. So Bush said, many of these, or President Petomane, I guess we're going to call him that, right? Many of these folks are sincere. That's the ones, the people that are getting frustrated. Many of these folks, I like that. Many of these folks are sincere in the patriotic, but they could not be more wrong. Well, for people from his own party, only a few weeks ago, Representative Christopher Shays, a Republican from Connecticut, minced no words in responding to calls by Democrats for a phased withdrawal from Iraq. He said, to have a timetable is absolutely foolish, but right now he's facing this re-election battle with an anti-war Democrat, Diane Farrell, and suddenly he's undergone a conversion. Start holding these people's feet to the fire. Start really pressing them on these issues. The election's coming up. They read the polls. They know two-thirds of us know this war is a disaster and that things are getting worse because of it. If anything is going to make them follow us here, it's this continuing crusader intervention in the Middle East, for sure. That's how they see us. Shea said, a lot of thought has gone into this. I had a lot of resistance in my own office in moving forward with this. It comes amid growing signs of strong anti-war sentiment in Connecticut. Earlier this month, Senator Joseph Lieberman, a centrist Democrat, come on, he's a Republican. That's the only people that are supporting him. And who still supports the war in Iraq, opposes a timetable for withdrawal, and he was defeated in the Connecticut primary by Ned Lamont. Other Republicans in other states may feel similar pressures. That's good. Two other House Republicans who strongly support the war, who did support the war, Representative Gil Gutnick of Minnesota, and more importantly, Representative Walter B. Jones of North Carolina, embraced the idea of a timetable for withdrawal, according to people in both parties. So I guess Bush is having a little trouble with those definitions within his own party. Now, I read this earlier, too. The military, why is the military seeking contracts for this? But they put out a bid for a $20 million public relations contract that calls for extensive monitoring of U.S. and Middle Eastern media in an effort to promote more positive coverage of news from Iraq. You know, folks, one of the things I do wrong, I know some of you think I do everything wrong, but some of you think I do a lot wrong, but I think one of the few things I think I do wrong is I read too quickly, because I read too much, and a lot of this is from reading on screen. A lot of it is from that. Maybe the kids can do better, but those of us raised on books and newspapers and magazines, we go too fast over this stuff. Do you realize what I just read? I didn't. Maybe you're better at this than I am. Maybe you caught the import of this more than I was able to. Let me go back over it and not read it so fast. U.S. military leaders, I'll read this fast, in Baghdad, and it's an odd place for this to come from, have put out for bids on a two-year, $20 million public relations contract that calls for extensive monitoring of U.S. media. I just read, like, media. I just read Middle East, you know, like, in, they're always trying to figure out how can they manipulate these publications throughout the Middle East that just despise us for what we're doing over there because of our intervention in the Middle East for the last 50 or 100 years, depending on how you count it. But these people, the military in Baghdad, are going to monitor the U.S. press? They're going to read the New York Times? They're going to read The Nation magazine? They're going to listen to this show and this network? Folks, this is dangerous. The First Amendment, you know what's packed in there. Now, I said last hour, why doesn't somebody sue them? This is a clear violation of freedom of the press. The government is looking over you. They're going to monitor it. For what? For people that are critical? Man, this is going to take more than $20 million because almost every single media outlet now is critical of Bush Cove's lying war. I mean, one of the things you can do, is one site in particular that I go to a lot, is buzzflash.com, buzzflash.com, just two Z's though. And what they do, about 85% of their material there is from mainstream sources. So that's a good place to go. All right, let's go to Fred in Sacramento. Fred, wow, Fred's a little pessimistic. Go ahead, Fred, you're on the air.
How you doing, Pete?
Doing excellent. Thank you, sir.
I don't have a lot of hope for the midterm elections. I'm looking at the governor's race in California, and the Democratic challenger, he's not even fighting. I mean, it's just so wimpy, his campaign, that it's almost like it's designed to lose. Where is the Roosevelts and the Kennedys? We need that kind of leader. The public's apathetic because we got such a pathetic group of Democrats in there. They don't want to fight. All they do is get elected just enough so they can go collect that paycheck and
Fred, you're mostly right. There's a few exceptions. I think Ned Lamont in Connecticut obviously has got a forthright campaign. The woman running against, I can't think of her first name, Diane Farrell, is that it, running against Representative Shea. Certainly here, I'm so hopeful about my ex-colleague on the IE America radio networks, two of them, in fact, Nancy Skinner in Michigan's 9th and Tony Trupiano in the 11th, and they're both running against Republicans. Tony running on an outright platform of impeached Bush. So there are some rebellious Democrats, but most of them are not doing much, aren't very forthright. They're just hoping that public sentiment will give the Congress to them. But if they were actually active, if they ran a campaign in the manner that Ned Lamont does, or that Nancy and Tony are, or Jonathan Tessini in New York, man, the Republicans, they probably have about 40 people in Congress.
Out here, Feinstein won't get my vote no matter what. It'll be a third-party vote, but I cannot vote for her, even if we give up the seat to a Republican. It's just,
rewarding people like that is pretty difficult. I agree with you, Fred. Here's Matt in Oakland, California. Matt, hi, it's Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. You're on the air. Matt, are you with me? I guess somebody's got to press his little button there. Okay, thank you. Matt, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine now. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be on your program. I respect you a great deal. I wanted to bring up something which I haven't heard much on the news, although beginning to get picked up here and there in regards to the oil spill
that Israel caused
in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, another crime committed by Israel in its absolutely in war of total destruction against I'm just going through this stuff here against Lebanon. An environmental disaster emerges on Lebanon coast from the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah, there's a good website. The World Conservation Union has a report on the matter on their website, which is www.iucn.org.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check that out. I think the report is written by a conservationist from University of Alaska.
Yeah, I don't know where these these apologists for Israel where they find room to the ground to stand on. I mean, they've been accused of war crimes. Wow. All right, we'll be right back. 866-303-2270. Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network.
Can you make it to your house? Knock on the front door. Run around to the back. You catch him. Death before he goes.
That's evil.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
And then God said, let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. I just saw this on the This Is London website, thisislondon.co.uk. Anybody know why that .co.uk is? Anyway, there's a new TV docudrama, and in it, President Petomane is assassinated. This is a little disturbing. We sure don't want to go that way. Remember the 1960s, either through history or living through it? But here's the article. This is the dramatic moment when President George Bush is gunned down by a sniper after a public address at a hotel in a gripping new docudrama soon to be aired on television. This must be on, believe it, it ain't going to show here, at least not on any major network. Set around October 2007, President Bush is assassinated as he leaves the Sheraton Hotel in Chicago, and there's a little photograph from it. And it says Bush is shot by a sniper, which it's more like when Ruby running up to Oswald to shut him up, right? So that Oswald can't tell what the real deal is. Actually, I'll tell you about that in half a sec. Death of a President. This is the docudrama shot in a style of retrospective documentary. Looks at the effect of the effect the assassination of Bush has on America in light of its war on terror. The 90-minute feature explores who could have planned the murder with a Syrian-born man wrongly accused. Peter Dale, head of More 4, which is due to air the film on October 9th, said the drama was a thought-provoking critique of contemporary U.S. society. Here's what he said. It's an extraordinary, gripping, and powerful piece of work, a drama constructed like a documentary that looks back at the assassination of George Bush as the starting point for a very gripping detective story. Oh, man. What I was saying about Ruby shooting Oswald. Last November 22nd on one of my Detroit shows, it was on November 22nd, I asked people to call in and say who did they think assassinated John Kennedy, and I was also interested about their age. Normally I'm not, but I wanted to know. A lot of the people, let me see, I mean, you probably have to be in your 50s for it to actually have had an impact on you when it occurred. And a lot of the listeners to my Detroit station are in their 20s, and so I said, I'm not even going to screen the calls. Just go through and tell me who killed John F. Kennedy. And it was astounding. I mean, like 2 or 3 to 1, it was the CIA, but people said the mafia, I don't know. I can't remember who it was. And then finally someone came to me, they said, you know, Pete, when it was all done, they said, you never said who you thought killed John F. Kennedy. And I said, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. All the stories sound good. There's been tons of books. I've read a lot about the Kennedy assassinations. Some of it gets a little cuckoo in terms of how extensive the plot is, the conspiracy with too many people in it. You can't have a conspiracy with hundreds of people involved and expect that it's going to be kept quiet. But the thing that startled me, Mark Lane, the man who first put out this book called Rush to Judgment, he also made a film by the same name. It may be still available. You could probably go online, Rush to Judgment, or Mark Lane, and get it. In this film, Oswald is being dragged through the Dallas police station, nothing like security then. All the media is all over it, and they've got a camera on him. He's been beat up because he resisted arrest. Remember, they arrested him initially for killing a police officer, Officer Tippett, and that's a whole confusing deal anyway. So he looks like totally disheveled and completely dazed. Someone shoves a microphone in front of Lee Harvey Oswald's face and says, "Why did you kill the president?" Suddenly, in this chilling scene, he comes completely alert and says, "Oh, so I'm the patsy." And they whip him away. Startling. Who did it? I don't know. All right, let's go back to our phone. It's John in Madison, Wisconsin. John, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter, how are you doing tonight?
Doing excellent, thanks for asking.
Just in response to one of the callers I heard earlier, as far as Democratic candidates go, you got to remember that their hands are kind of tied with politics, and everybody should just do everything they can to work toward getting the House back, because if we don't get it back, we could be looking at 50 years of this kind of crap.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's a Nation magazine article, something about Bush canceling the 2008 elections. And I said last night, we can't really conceive of that. Most of us can't imagine that this country won't become increasingly democratic the way it has for the last 250 years or so. But you know, it's going the other way now. It's going increasingly towards authoritarian rule. And the last part of it would be that the people that are wielding power illegally and are petro-fascists, as one of our callers called them earlier tonight, aren't going to relinquish power to the people who they keep telling us are morally indifferent, don't understand history, don't understand the current situation, and on like that. So these people, remember this, these people are capable of absolutely anything. We've seen that from everything they've done so far. So thank you for your call. We'll be back with Reese Ehrlich. Reese Ehrlich has reported from Iran and the Middle East for about 20 years. He's got a new book called The Iran Agenda. We'll see how what's going on now fits into all that. This is Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network.
Darling, darling, I love you. You know my love is real, but the Secret Service, they make me nervous. They make me nervous. You know they do. Yes, they do now.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby with you, broadcasting from Detroit. I'll be doing it for the rest of tonight and then tomorrow as well. Thanks to Brian. He sent me information about the film I was talking about by Mark Lane, Rush to Judgment, The Plot to Kill JFK, is available on VHS. You probably could just Google it, or I think it's at Amazon as well. I didn't realize it was directed by Emile D'Antonio, although I can't remember for the life of me who in the world, what in the world he directed other than this. Great Italian director? I think so. I just heard the report, too, of the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young concert out here in Detroit. And apparently it was just an anti-war, anti-Bush fest with the band, the whole band, the whole gang back together singing almost all the songs from Neil Young's Living with War, including Impeach the President. All right, let's go to our phones right now and talk to Reese Ehrlich. Reese Ehrlich has reported from Iran and the Middle East for 20 years, and he's currently working on a book called The Iran Agenda. Reese Ehrlich, welcome to Air America.
Good evening, Peter.
All right. So what is behind this sudden crisis? I mean, on the face of it, we are supposed to be worried, and maybe we should be, that Iran is has now the capacity, it appears, to have nuclear weapons, and they could be a danger to the region, and Bush says even to us here in the United States. What's your take on it?
Well, it's a phony crisis. There's no real crisis. We saw similar things leading up to the Iraq War. The administration over-exaggerates a problem, makes up stuff, tries to get people afraid, and then uses that as a means to justify military action. The CIA says that Iran is at least 7 to 10 years away from developing a nuclear weapon. Nobody claims they have a nuclear weapon today. And even the Israelis, who have the most pessimistic outlook, say they're a year or two away. So, you know, it's a crisis that's being manufactured, basically, so Bush can try to overthrow the Iranian regime. If suddenly tomorrow Iran eliminated all its plans to develop nuclear power, the U.S. would come up with some new unreasonable demand that would cause a similar crisis. It's a totally manufactured situation.
Do they really think this can fly, though, given what's happening in Iraq, that suddenly extend this to Iran? And I assume the only way they could do this would be through aerial bombardment, since we certainly don't have the troops for it. And that could create just this environmental disaster. That could release nuclear radiation to the atmosphere.
Yeah, it would be a disaster for Iran. I think the only reason that the Bush administration is able to carry out this kind of speculation and planning is because they assume not many Americans would die, or none would die. And they do a calculation that says, well, as long as Americans aren't dying in the war, they're okay, they're safe politically. It doesn't matter how many Iranians die or how much the environment gets poisoned as a result of U.S. policies.
Well, there are some Americans pretty close. They're in Iraq.
Yeah,
and
last I
checked, there's a jet stream that takes stuff like that and dumps it. Remember those open-air testing and how that drifted much of it around the world in the 1940s and 50s?
Yeah, well, I'm making a distinction between reality and the strange policy decisions that are made in Washington. The two are often disconnected. Of course, if the U.S. did, the Bush administration is pursuing several things simultaneously. A possible missile or airplane strike against Natanz or the other Iranian nuclear facilities. At the same time, they're financing basically terrorist activities by minority groups and special forces operations going inside Iran, trying to harass the Iranian government from within, and all of which is supposed to spark an uprising, and the Iranian people will overthrow the government, bring back the Shah, and happy days will be here again.
And when the Americans come in, they'll throw rose petals at
us. Yeah, it sounds like a very similar scenario we've heard before. Well, and we even have the king in waiting, the Shah's son.
No, you're kidding.
No, the Shah's son.
This bloody...
lives outside Washington, D.C., everybody is vying to be the next Ahmed Chalabi, the guy who can really come in and represent the U.S. in the new Iran, and $75 million being spent by the Bush administration supposedly to bring democracy. And of course, the great irony of Iran is that it had democracy at one time. In 1953, they had an elected government, a parliamentary system, you know, fair and free elections. And what did the U.S. do? They overthrew it.
Yeah, they did. 19 installed this torture state.
Sort of dictator. So.
And this was both parties. And I believe it was in 1979. Jimmy Carter spent New Year's Eve with the head of the torture state, the undemocratic dictatorship of the Shah, spent New Year's Eve with him.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And the wrong policies about Iran have crossed party lines. Jimmy Carter, who, you know, ever since he started building houses, he looks better and better, you know, and he's not in power. But especially the last couple of years of his administration, you know, he moved in the same direction that eventually Ronald Reagan took the country, and was responsible in part for what happened in Iran and the whole tragedy and mess that we've been in for the last 25 years.
In Afghanistan as well, who first began financing the Mujahideen, including Osama.
The great freedom fighters,
Osama bin Forgotten. Reese Ehrlich, all right, we're going to turn off all recording devices, because when I ask people to make predictions, you never want this thrown back at you. But I have a bet with my friend, with a friend of mine, that I say that there's not going to be an attack before the elections. He says this is going to be the October surprise, that Bush will finally decide that the conditions are such that even if we can't get a United Nations resolution through, that the danger is so imminent, as they said about Iraq, that there has to be a strike. What do you think?
I keep going back and forth both ways on that. I said 6 months ago there were stronger indications that the U.S. would try some kind of a military strike against Iran prior to the elections. I think, however, the U.S. is running into so much opposition around the world. They can't get any kind of significant U.N. resolution passed. China and Russia are absolutely opposed to sanctions, let alone a military strike. And the U.S. is so bogged down in Iraq. And I think they see what happened, you know, if the U.S. did strike, there would be a lot of consequences. The U.S. troops would come under attack in Iraq. Hezbollah might well start fighting Israel again, and the whole region could go up in flames. Some people in Washington understand that, including some of the generals. So I can't tell you when such a strike would take place. It would be surely cynical to try to do it to try and win an election, and could well backfire.
Yeah, and of course, when you say cynical, well, but knowing all of this, I mean, it's one thing to win elections, and these guys love chaos, because they think when there's chaos, when there's danger, when there's fear, when there's terror, that's when people will turn to them. But the generals must realize the terrible consequences that would occur. I wonder if they're getting internal opposition, or are they just saying, hey, more time to play with our toys?
Yeah, no, there are some indications. Seymour Hersh has written in the New Yorker about various high-level Pentagon officials. I mean, the U.S., for example, includes a possible U.S. nuclear attack on Iran in their planning. Not that necessarily they would do it, but that's an official part of the planning. And the generals are saying that's crazy. We have to take the nuclear option off the table. And the civilian officials, Rumsfeld, Bush, Cheney, and company say no. We want to consider that as an option. So yes, there are, and you know, there are generals who oppose that, who understand there are political consequences, not simply military ones, to carrying out actions like that.
Well, I was searching through. Oh, well, you know, you ever look for something and it's in your hand? I was looking for this article from the Associated Press today, where John Bolton, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, now he says that there's no need to have everybody on board for a Security Council resolution.
Right. That's the admission that they can't get the votes.
Yeah, but it's also part of the unilateralism, part of this preemptive war, which would be the thing that will be defeated if Bush and the Republicans and the oil companies and the weapons manufacturers are defeated in Iraq. It won't be America. It won't be the United States that will be defeated in Iraq. It'll be all those forces that have brought such grief to that area and to us here in America.
Yeah, absolutely. And the tragedy of Iraq, of course, Norman Solomon and I wrote a book called Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. And pretty much everything that's happening in Iraq now, we wrote in our book prior to the war breaking out. You don't have to have CIA clearance or some kind of high-level intelligence information to have figured out that what the U.S. did in Iraq was predictable, that you were going to have, basically, the country is going to shatter into three different countries, with the U.S. retreating to Kurdistan and the rest of the country going into chaos. And that was knowable before the war. There could be very, not the same, but very, very serious consequences for any U.S. military strike against Iran.
Well, people have to move politically to make sure that doesn't happen. Reese Ehrlich, thanks for joining us. People can go to IranProject.org, IranProject.org, see more of the work of our guest, Reese Ehrlich.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us.
Check out my book, The Iran Agenda, when it comes out next
week. All right, send it to me. I'll do a full interview with you.
Fantastic. Look forward to it.
All right, great.
Thank you now.
Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. You're next at 866-303-2270. No more guests, so it is just you and me. Be right back after these. They got the super better and nothing after a fact. Gone downtown on that battlefield. You spoke at these fights and you better not hear. You think you're smoking. You better smoke it right. These pipe smoke drifting in the sky. These pipe smoke where the eagles fly.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Avacor. Today, Avacor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong, because only Avacor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacor will double your order. Call Avacor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you. Got about one more hour and 10 minutes tonight, then another program tomorrow. And I actually have the whole next week off. I'm not going to do my Sunday night show here in Detroit because of the holiday. So I'm going to be down at the International Detroit Jazz Festival, although it seems more like a blues and pop and funk kind of festival, which is all right with me. Let's see. What was I going? Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks again to Brian, who told us who Emil De Antonio, what else he did. He's probably most famous for his portrait of the Army McCarthy hearings from the 1950s. The documentary was called Point of Order. Then he did The Rush to Judgment about the JFK assassination. Had another one, and I remember, I'm not going to go in. In the Year of the Pig, this was 1968. We'll just go on. Milhouse about Nixon. McCarthy, Death of a Witch Hunter in 1975, and then Mr. Hoover and I in 1989. Let's see. Looking at an email, I think maybe, though, there's a lot of you waiting. Let's do that. We should be talking rather than me just reading. Here's Jack in Fort Lauderdale. Jack, hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
The purpose of my call is to be kind of foolish, useless, and illusionary to try to impeach the President of the United States when you can use the law, the RICO law, to get him for a continuing conspiracy of organized crime, him and his gang of 122. Count one.
Where'd you get the figure from? Where'd you get the 122 from? I like that.
Well, you got to start adding them up. You got to start with the Latouche-Lautrec, our the dwarf hunchback attorney general, who's a thief
and
a moron. And a moron.
Well, wait.
He doesn't interpret the law. He makes it up.
Does he really have what, I don't know what they call it now, but a hunchback?
Well, did you ever look at him?
His face.
He's close.
He's close. All right. Well, we shouldn't make fun of people's physical appearance.
I'm not making fun of him. He's a disaster. But anyway,
okay.
To take care of Mr. Bush, it takes too long. You indict him under the RICO Act of a continuing organized crime, and you start with his grandfather, Preston Bush, because you can indict dead people under the Organized Crime Act, the RICO Act.
Sure, Prescott. And by the way, Jack, if you want to see the whole details of which you may have already seen, you can go to my website at Peter Werby, PeterWerbe.com, and you can see the whole deal about how the Bush family helped the Nazis come to power. He's, of course, not the only American corporatist that was assisted in that. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate your call. In fact, many of you listening in this time slot regularly may enjoy what's on my website. Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E, PeterWerby.com. Here is Barry in Portland. Barry, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Werby?
That's Dad. Hey, Dad, there's a call for you.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, hi, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, okay, sure. I've been reading through a book about the last 20 years of censored journalism up to about 1996 or so, and there was something in there about the World League for World Anti-Communist League that in 1989 turned into the World League for Freedom and Democracy.
What?
And
what's that all about?
Well, it was those people that were in that sponsored Renamo that took over Mozambique in a very vicious way.
You know what, Barry, let me interrupt you. You know, I don't know whether you're on a cell phone or what, but it's really not air quality, so I'm going to have to cut you. Let's see if you can get a landline call. It's back. Here's Dave in Baltimore. Dave, hi. Peter Werby on Air America. You're on the air. Hey, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey.
You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Can
hi.
You hear me?
I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. Just glad to hear you hear your voice, Peter. You have you're the voice of reason. I'm listening to the mainstream press all the time, and I'm not hearing it. It's quite alarming at the amount of things that don't get reported.
What are you watching or listening to? Just out of curiosity, for instance, would that don't sound reasonable?
Well, I mean, when you listen to Chris Matthews and you listen to, sometimes they seem like they're on the verge of just saying something that they should be saying, and then they just back off.
Okay. That's what I thought you were going to say. Here's my take on it, Dave. everybody should watch what they want. But to me, watching the cables, watching these right-wingers, watching, you know, I have never seen an O'Reilly show ever. I've never seen a Chris Matthews show ever. I don't even have cable. And I'm in the business, and if I thought that that was important for me understanding the world or even understanding how these right-wing freaks think, I'd be watching it all the time. But as far as I'm concerned, and this is just my personal opinion, they're absolutely useless for any understanding of anything, and in a way you could deal them the cruelest blow of all, which is to totally ignore them. But go ahead, quickly, though, because I think we're almost out of time.
I'm very sorry. I'm just saying, I've found that by expressing our own opinions every day, that to our friends and neighbors, that what you're hearing, that what they're saying on these shows just isn't true.
Yeah.
That people are just fed up, and the majority of people really do not believe in this administration, don't have any faith in it, and that when you listen to the O'Reillys and their hate speech, that that's not really the way Americans are thinking.
No, I agree. And what's pretty interesting, the way they dominate, like the cables and all of that, and of course the media in general protected President Petromain for so long. It's amazing that they're still, we were able to, on a sort of a popular grassroots basis, turn the whole country against him and his policies. I think we're almost out of time, Dave, so I want to thank you for joining us. We got another hour to go, so please rejoin us. Peter Werbe here on the Air America Radio Network, 866-303-2270. No guests next hour, so it's mano a mano, you and me. We're not going to fight, though, are we? I'll be right back after our top-of-the-hour information on the Air America Radio Network.
Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro? Really? Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the Internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. The rain bands of tropical storm Ernesto are lashing the coast of the Carolinas. The storm packs winds of 70 miles an hour with gusts to 110 miles an hour. The National Hurricane Center says Ernesto is making landfall in the border region between North and South Carolina. With more than a dozen wildfires burning across the Pacific Northwest and warm weather this holiday weekend, fire officials are urging caution to the public.
Fire danger is extremely high, is very high to extreme, and there are a lot of closures to fires, including the wilderness areas, campgrounds, those kind of things. So, yeah, we're in a very bad situation as far as fire outside.
Fire Information Officer Mick Mueller is at the Tripod Complex fire, the one requiring the largest firefighting effort in the nation, with more than 147,000 acres burned. He says make sure if you head out to the wilderness, check for restrictions and avoid outdoor burns. As expected, Iran rejected the UN deadline for a cessation of its nuclear activities. President Bush responded by saying that there must be consequences. The president spoke about the matter in remarks to the annual convention of the American Legion in Salt Lake City, Utah. NASA has selected the company it will use to build the next spaceship that will take astronauts back to the moon and on to Mars.
The competition was fierce and the proposals were strong. And with that, I do want to announce who we have awarded the contract to, and it is Lockheed Martin.
NASA's Doug Cook says competition for the multi-billion dollar Orion contract was between Maryland-based Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman. A return trip to the moon is set for no later than 2020. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has launched the most massive crackdown on drunk drivers in U.S. history. Administrator Nicole Nason says 11 million federal, state, and local law enforcement officers across the USA are taking the gloves off when it comes to DUI.
If you are driving drunk, you are going to jail. And from coast to coast, communities will be stepping up enforcement and stepping up prosecution. And drunk drivers who endanger our families and our communities are going to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back to Air America Radio Network. It's all AC/DC, isn't it? Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Yeah, that's the theme. Of course, it's not dirt cheap, is it, when Bushco does it with President Peto Maine at the helm. If you're just joining us, you're probably thinking, what? Or if you're joining us for the first time tonight, you're probably thinking, what the hell is this all about? Actually, it's not a good way to introduce an hour. Welcome to the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby. Got one more hour with you. It's unsigned, but it's email. Americans are not addicted to oil. They are force-fed oil. It's a game of manipulation and control, not addiction. I would agree with that. I asked earlier in the broadcast if anybody from Salt Lake City could give us a call at 866-303-2270 and let us know about the demonstration out there today, led by the mayor of Salt Lake City, Rocky Anderson, at the occasion of George W. Peto Maine speaking in Salt Lake City, addressing the veteran, or the American Legion. He was there just a year ago, and Anderson led a demonstration there as well. Old Peto Maine, the presidente, must be a glutton for punishment. What is it, fascist season in Utah? A.E. asks us. Rocky is not a one-time protester, but a man with a long career of public activism who has been recognized worldwide. Are there any other big city mayors who have shown his type of courage? No. No is the answer. You know, that's who we need. I said this last night. Rocky Anderson for president. Are we really going to wind up facing the prospect in 2008 in November of Hillary versus John McCain? Can it be? I don't think so. I hope not. All right, they're leaving the choice up to me. I'm going to go to Charlie, who I don't see your city, but Charlie, hi, you're on the air on line 9.
And Charlie, I'm in Boston.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
I'm in Boston, Beantown, liberal capital of the country.
It is indeed. I know it well.
Yes, we love you guys out here. I'm a huge fan of Mike and Randy. I hope Mike's okay.
He's great.
That's good. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I'm totally against this war. I can see where the war is going. I don't like where it's going. I think we're going to wind up with a whole generation of messed up kids.
Hey, let me ask you this. How old were you when you were in Vietnam? Were you like one of the classic 19-year-olds?
I was 17 when I went over. I celebrated my 18th birthday on Yankee Station.
Wow.
I was on the Constellation. I was in one of her squadrons.
When we look back, when we look at 17 and 18-year-olds, we think children, don't we?
I'm past 50 now. I'm blind. I have type 2 diabetes. I have cellulitis in my feet. And it's probably all because I got a whiff of something in Vietnam I shouldn't have gotten.
You don't think it could be Agent Orange?
It's a real serious possibility.
Yeah.
Some of them are saying I'm showing all the classic symptoms.
Well, as you probably know, the Vietnamese are still suffering birth defects.
Sure. You know, I remember growing up in the 60s, so the thing I was curious about, because I heard that news report about they finally passed award the contract for the return to the moon there, and I've always been a strong, even though I am dirt poor and I am sick as a dog, I still support an active space program the way I did back in the 60s. And I remember growing up in the 60s and keeping track with Project Apollo, and I wish to God we were out of Iraq, because that $8 billion a month that we waste in Iraq, I just think about how much good that we could accomplish with that $8 billion.
Well, one of the things, I know you wouldn't say this, Charlie, but I will, one of the things that should happen is a Vietnam veteran like yourself shouldn't have to say that, or be, even more importantly, shouldn't have to be dirt poor. When you were in Vietnam, what were your feelings about the war itself, and also about anti-war protesters like me? What did you think? I mean, you can be brutal if it is.
Yeah, the anti-war protesters who were actively supporting our enemies and were spitting on us, and we were coming home. Our prevailing attitude was, as we get back there, God help those little SOBs, because we're going to kick the living crap out of them.
So, well, what happened when you got back?
I was ashamed to wear my uniform. I took my uniform off, and I never looked at it ever again.
Wow.
But, you know, this is 30 years later. I'm in my 50s now. I've mellowed out. And I still have some bitter memories, yes. But I'm grateful for the fact that I never actively engaged in combat and I never had to kill anyone personally.
Well, that's good. Charlie, best of luck to you. Thank you for calling in to us here. Here's Dave. Dave was in Salt Lake City at the anti-Bush protest today. Or I guess now, by now, it's yesterday. It's still today out there, isn't it? You still working on Thursday out there in Central Time. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Peter. President Bush actually spoke today, but the big rally was yesterday with the mayor, Rocky Anderson.
Okay, I knew that, but that's what I was wondering, whether there was a second protest that he attended.
Well, if there was, there really wasn't any announcement for it because our grassroots liberal radio station that we have here in Salt Lake City, KRCL, didn't make any type of announcement. Basically, during their radio hour at lunchtime, which they call Radio Active, their call-in show, they pretty much just replayed much of the highlights of his speech, but I must say, I told your screener that I have a number for Rocky's office in case you wanted it to get in touch with him. But I've got to say,
probably not. You know what? He maybe email him or something like that. But what do you think about Rocky Anderson for president?
I think it would be a very interesting notion. I've got to say, what I was going to mention is that he spoke with a passion that I haven't heard many people who are in opposition of this president or any of the administration. That was so invigorating and so lively. You know, we heard a little bit from Al Gore about a year ago when he was really making a stink about the global warming. You know, he made national news, but that sort of faded away. But I've got to say that Rocky really, really livened up the crowd. It was a peaceful protest, and I was amazed at the range of the age of the participants who were there. I saw some people who had to be in their mid-80s, and they were holding up signs and cheering right alongside me, and it was really great to see.
Well, I got to tell you, here in the Detroit area, a lot of the people that are at the forefront of the peace and social justice movement are in their 70s and 80s, and definitely tons in their 60s, and now we see young people again starting to get active. And can you imagine, though, Rocky Anderson running for president, the music we could use from Rocky, and everybody would be going, Rocky, Rocky.
Absolutely. And, he has just officially announced a couple weeks ago that he wasn't going to seek yet another term as mayor. He's a two-term mayor. And he is going to remain active on more of a grassroots level, trying to, work for the environment. And he's really led the way for Salt Lake to be recognized as a very progressive city in terms of being environmentally aware and just changing the whole politics of city around as far as gay rights and just environmental legislation. So he's been a real asset to the city and someone who has stirred the pot, so to speak, in such a sort of complacent and sort of follow the leader atmosphere out here.
That's great.
And he's really made it. He's really made. I'm very proud to live in Salt Lake City because of him.
Well, thank you so much for the
community.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the report, Dave.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot, Peter. You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I want to go to line six though and get Amy, who's in Maryland. I'm always curious how this, what we're going to talk about, affects people. Amy, hi, it's Peter Werby, and you're on the air.
Hi, Peter, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you for joining us.
I've been listening to you all week and really enjoying your show.
Thank you.
And I called because I really respect your opinion a lot, and after listening to you for this week, I wanted to get your opinion on this. I saw for the first time the documentary on 9/11, Loose Change 2.
Sure, I've seen it, yes.
And it freaked me out. And I've been obsessed with it since I saw it yesterday, and I don't know what to make of it. I was in New York during 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and I was working 20 blocks north of the World Trade Center, and
boy.
was there when it happened, and I have always wondered what went on that day.
Well,
and
Amy, if you will hold on, I will give you at least my opinion. Maybe others can join in as well, but we got to go to a break right now. So hang with us, please, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby. If you'd like to join the conversation, 866-303-2270. I'll be right back. You better heed my warning.
The straw that broke the camel's back didn't have to be so big. And when you ran off and left me, baby, I almost blew my wig. They say he who has the last laugh always laughs the best. And I'm gonna laugh louder, baby.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free and it'll make my acne disappear. Sounds a little too good to be true to me.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure that Proactive Solution will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating bumps and redness. Oh, there's one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-426-0651. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-426-0651. That's 1-800-426-0651.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here for about another 40 minutes. I hope you join us at 866-303-2270. We're talking with Amy in Maryland, and Amy was talking about watching the documentary about 911 entitled Loose Change, and she was actually about 20 blocks away from Ground Zero when that happened on September 11th. And this documentary was extraordinarily disturbing to her, as it was to me and most people that have watched it. Amy, did you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but did you notice any obvious flaw in at least the one I thought that the film really kind of fell down on? Did anything hit you, or should I just give you my opinion?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just give you my opinion. Sorry.
Yeah, give me
your
opinion.
All right. So a lot of this is, I can't answer it directly, but it seems very bizarre the kind of damage that was done to the Pentagon, and it does look more like the result of a missile striking it as opposed to a large commercial jet. And also the contention of the film is that it was a missile that crashed in Pennsylvania. So then where it falls down, in my estimation, is where were the planes and where are the passengers? So the contention of the film, if I remember correctly, is that they landed in Cleveland. So where are the passengers? They're like on, what is that, like Sector 58 out in New Mexico with the space aliens? That really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What do you think?
Yeah, that's kind of a flaw. I thought that was a kind of a weak link in the whole thing, but I thought that what was amazing to me was the point in the film where they were talking about how the buildings must have been put, you know, the explosions timed, and they show the flashes and on the videos from that day, and just like I was just sitting there going, whoa, wait a second.
But I don't know, Amy. I remember.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
It doesn't. You know, there are conspiracies. We're being ruled by a conspiracy. So I'm way into conspiracies, and I think we were talking earlier about assassinating who assassinated JFK. I think there was undoubtedly a conspiracy involved in that as well. So conspiracy theory is a sort of code word for people that think things that are off agenda, and a lot of things are. But I forgot about that. The fact that the whole building was mined, and I mean it's something that is that prominent as an event, I have to believe that there would be enough mainstream interest in it, or a little bit off the mainstream, that if that was the case, people would go for it. But here's what this all says to me, Amy, that two things. One is there is such monumental distrust in this gang of bandits that rule us that people think that they are capable of anything, absolutely anything, including murdering thousands of their our own citizens. And the other thing is that that we never feel we're getting the full information.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, I mean, well, it's like, did you ever see someone just wrote me and was saying that the film V for Vendetta is now on DVD. Did you ever see that film?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, I'll go see it. It's kind of a combination. People don't like it when I say this because it's about a fascist dictatorship that's taken over in England. And it shows how the news is manipulated, and it just strikes home so much. But it's kind of a combination of the Mark of Zorro, Batman, and Phantom of the Opera. But most people like it because of the message it has. But it's good. All right, let me get some other calls. Because that's V for Vendetta is fictional, but some people say so is Loose Change. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know now. I was talking to somebody who you all know well this morning, and I said that because I won't sign on to stuff like Loose Change, a lot of you think I'm part of the conspiracy, right? All right. Let's see. Okay, they're leaving it up to me. I'm more than willing to do it. It's Debbie in San Diego. Debbie, hi. Peter Werby on Air America. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there, Peter.
Hi.
Hi. A little earlier you had a caller in who was somewhat critical of Democrats and, calling them basically weak.
Wimpy.
You know, but I think whenever somebody says that, they ought to be a little bit called to task to say, what have they done to support Democrats? What have they done? Have they donated any money? Have they gotten out and protested? Have they walked the precinct? Have they done anything to support the party, which they belong to apparently, but which they're critical of that hasn't met their needs? Have they gone to a Democrats meeting? Have they done anything? Or are they just consumers waiting to be fed? You know, I just think that we live in a time when bombastic petulance is the rules the day, you know?
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking about those irascible Republicans.
Oh, okay. I'm saying bombastic petulance. Hey, Debbie, unfortunately we're out of time for this segment, but your statement is well taken. And people have to get involved, not just in the Democratic Party either. When election time, yeah, but there's lots of grassroots stuff going on all the time. I know you know that as well. A break again and back again. And I got a little something to say about the elections coming up and about my union and how our union dues are being spent. I don't even necessarily object to it, but there's a lot of money involved. 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on the Air America Radio Network.
But taking care of two of me is pretty hard. Get out. And don't you never, never, never come back again.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the...
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a four-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a three-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We'll be right back.
Where do you guys find all this music? I love it. Let it go for a sec. This is Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you. Another couple segments, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. And I'll be back tomorrow. That'll be my last time on Air America for a little while. You never can tell when I'll come back, though. I get the call. You got to sit in for somebody, and I'm always pleased to do it. Talk to all you folks all across the country. All right, I was going to talk about my union, but let me just read this. Fred, listening outside Detroit, probably on WDTW. We were talking about the film Loose Change, a documentary that says that the buildings went down, the Twin Towers, in controlled explosions. The passengers on two of the planes, the one that hit the Pentagon, the one that didn't hit the Pentagon, and the one that did not crash in Pennsylvania, actually landed in Cleveland. And so I asked, where are the passengers? Fred writes, you're wondering where the passengers went. I did too, and a thought occurred to me. If these guys would kill as many people as died at the Twin Towers, what's a few hundred more? The administration's already caused a great deal of death in Afghanistan and Iraq, both native peoples and American troops, plus all those who died needlessly in New Orleans. Maybe another 200 people isn't that much of a stretch. Well, I guess I think what happened on 9/11 to appear speculation, but you know, we used to have to wait generations or almost a whole generation to find out how the government lied to us, to find out that the government lied about the reason for going into the Spanish-American War, that the Spanish did not blow up the USS Maine and Havana Harbor. We had to find out that the unrestricted warfare that was the excuse for one of the very, very weak excuses for the United States going into World War One. Was the Germans were actually correct that it wasn't an innocent passenger ship, the Lusitania, but in fact was filled with munitions that unfortunately the passengers aboard did not know of. I think over 1,000 people died in that sinking because it had so much munitions on it, just blew all apart. Why is this always on the water now that I think about it? The Gulf of Tonkin, where allegedly North Vietnamese patrol boats shot at an American ship, just turned out to be a fabrication as well. But we find out about it after there's already a mountain of corpses that are created by the war makers, the masters of war. And remember, is there a Republican or a conservative reaching the phone for the phone and saying, hey, Pete, in the First World War and in the Vietnam War, wasn't a Republican that was the president? Well, I know that, dear friends. So here's another email from Matt. Matt says, when I hear this attack from those defending the president and his war of choice in Iraq, well, before I even read the rest of it, there ain't a lot of them left, Matt. You know, two-thirds of us finally figured it out, something that I'm sure most people on Air America knew going in. The war was a lie, that there weren't weapons of mass destruction, and we're smart enough to know that we're probably going to get a lot of resistance. But in any event, Matt says, when I hear the attack from those defending the president and his war of choice in Iraq, I have a question for them. What do you say to the families, American and Iraqi, who will make the ultimate sacrifice next week, next month, next year, unless we stop the violence in Iraq? That's the question. Remember that John Kerry, when he was a young man, said, you know, who will be the last person to die there? Now, you know, I feel a cough coming on, so I'm gonna put Charles on the air from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I'm gonna cough off mic. Charles, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing tonight? I've been listening to your show. A couple of things, two questions really. How long does it take to set up a implosion for a building? And when did Building 7 go down? It looked to me like it was like the afternoon of 9/11 when they took it down, and they did admit that it was a controlled implosion. I think it takes about 4 months to set up a building to blow it up like that. I don't know.
Yeah, do you think that's possible?
I don't think it's possible that they could have set it up in an afternoon.
No, I mean, do you think it's possible that they could have done such a stunt in, and who would have done it? I mean, see, that's one thing I don't like about conspiracies that go beyond a few people. If you had to have that kind of planning, that kind of ordinance, that kind of stealth, it you know, it's I don't think it would have hung together. I don't buy that for a second.
Let me ask you a question. How did the Building 7 come down?
I have no idea. I mean, I have to tell you that I haven't even looked at it that deeply.
Yeah. Well, here's what I can tell you.
But you can make some suppositions. Like if you organize a plot of such magnitude that it takes all this expertise, all this personnel, all this necessity for stealth, both before and after, I think that militates against it being the explanation.
Well, I don't understand how they brought that building down with a controlled implosion. It's my understanding it takes months to set up a controlled implosion like that. So however it happened, they knew in advance they were going to have to take the building down. So either they built the building with charges in place, figuring that there was something in there that had to be destroyed for
some reasons.
That's crazy.
One thing, I know the daughter of the architect, Minoru Yamasaki. I don't think that happened. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Here's Mike in upstate New York. Mike, hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just listening to Sean Hannity today, and these Bush crime family are really running scared.
That's good.
You hear what he said about Nancy Pelosi today?
You know, remind me. I saw it, and I don't have it in my head.
Well, he said something more or less, rather than have her go into office, be something worth dying for.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, do you imagine if the president of Iran said that about Israel? They'd call him a terrorist.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it that way.
Yeah, they're really running scared. That is the one of the Republican lines, that if the House goes to the Democrats, which I think there's a darn good chance of, that Nancy Pelosi will be the House leadership, and that she could begin proceedings with articles of impeachment. But you know what? I don't think she's going to do it. In fact, I think the Democrats will keep a lid on the left in the Democratic Party that is interested in bringing a bill of impeachment against Bush.
Peter, if they ever went that far, and the Democrats take the House and the Senate, you can bet, you can say, Mark told you this 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months ago. Dick Cheney will resign. He'll put somebody in that don't know that can pardon them all.
There you go.
I told you today how much I hate these people.
No, but it's a good, I should use that, although it's somebody else's, isn't it? Let's see, here's Gene in St. Louis. Gene, hi, it's Peter Werbe. You're on the air.
Yeah, Peter, Gene. Anyway, I got a thing on prisonplanet.com where Madeline Duncan Brown, who was a mistress of LBJ, said that H.L. Hunt and the FBI with Hoover and the Mafia controlled the death of Kennedy.
That makes a lot of sense. I would buy that.
Yeah, she said that Johnson, the night before Kennedy died, came out of a meeting with these guys and said, after tomorrow, these guys will embarrass me again. And then Kennedy got shot the next day.
Wow.
And she knew, it's on Prison Planet, so that's Alex Jones' site, but it's really interesting. There's an 80-minute YouTube video of her being interviewed before she died.
Now, boy, I'm getting a terrible echo on this line.
I'm sorry, I got everything turned off.
No, I don't think it's you. I think it's on this end.
Yeah.
So I won't comment that. But thank you so much. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you this about my union. My union is American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, AFL-CIO, of which I'm a proud longtime member of. And I saw this article in the Associated Press. AFL-CIO launches $40 million electoral campaign. $40 million! They're going to use it on a voter drive on Wednesday. On Wednesday? All of it on Wednesday? Targeting 21 states and hoping increased turnout among union members swings competitive races in Ohio and Pennsylvania. The financial commitment amounted to the most expensive by the union for the midterm elections. The focus is 21 governor's races, 15 Senate races, and at least 50 House races. The AFL-CIO said its effort could reach 12.4 million new voters, union members, their households, and families in those top-tier states. The $40 million does not include $1.5 million in political action committee donations that the AFL is contributing to the election. It also excludes direct contributions from members to individual candidates. Now, I had a couple of thoughts about this. And remember, this is a weaker AFL. The six unions have already left the organization. Not mine, though. In fact, the big Labor Day march here in Detroit used to be, it's fairly big. There's thousands and thousands of us that are going to be marching. I'm going to be marching with my local here in Detroit. And if you're listening like on WDTW or you're listening on Sirius or any other, whatever, come on down to that parade. It's always inspiring. But it used to be. I don't know who the last candidate was that did so. Maybe it was John F. Kennedy. They would appear downtown and have these big Labor Day rallies on election year, and that would be the kickoff. The kickoff would occur in Detroit, Michigan, on Labor Day when the president, the Democratic presidential candidate, would give the kickoff speech. Well, I hear music coming in back of me, so I won't go on with this too much more. Maybe I'll do a little bit more when we come back, because it has to do with the propriety of spending money and the necessity of it. Now, it sounds like I'm going to be critical, doesn't it? But not of my union. I'll be right back. I'm Peter Werbe. This is the Air America Radio Network.
Question: are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644.
gonna tell y'all a little story about a monkey that became president. Man, you know, I was there on the day the monkey came into this world. His face was round and reddish, and his hair was slightly curled.
He I love this.
Different from the others that I had seen. Who'd have thought he was the answer to this nation's dream? At first, he didn't seem to be too intelligent at all. Every time he'd start to walk, he'd stumble and he'd fall. My first impression was to be a most mistaken thought. Lord Almighty, watch this little Harry walking.
Hey, this is the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby with you. And I'm losing a lot of trains of my thought here. I was talking about the AFL-CIO's $40 million campaign to get Democrats elected. Now, it's worthwhile because the Republicans have been practicing class war against all working people, middle class and working class people, driving down our wages, destroying our benefits, our retirement, everything. All right? So the AFL, as the representative of working people in this country, even the non-union people, this is a legitimate expense. But you know what this does? This means that when I pay my dues to my union, the AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, it's not spent on organizing more people. It's not defending our, well, I guess maybe in a sense it is then if it's going for electoral stuff. And it's not spent on our benefits, and the AFL has no choice because, obviously, you let these bandits remain in office, these pimps for the wealthy. Well, we're going to take it even all the more. All right, what do I think happened on 9/11 in terms of the buildings falling and what hit them and all that? No idea, absolutely no idea whatsoever. But here's what I think happened, and I started to say about all these other wars in which were based on lies, which were almost all of them, if you think about it, mostly all the American wars were based on lies, if you think about it. If you really think about it, go through them all, but maybe another time. But this time, since it was in the paper in June of 2001, I saw an article saying that Osama bin Laden says he's going to strike in the United States. So I knew it was coming. And I'm sure the guys in the expensive suits in the White House, the Pentagon, knew so as well. I think it will come out hopefully in my lifetime, but for certain if you're much younger. And it will be that the Bushco, accurately called the Bush crime family, was preparing the next time there was any attack on any American asset anywhere in the world. They were going to strike Afghanistan and as quickly as possible use whatever it was as an excuse to invade Iraq. I think this was way long in the planning. All the other stuff, buildings falling, airplanes or missiles hitting it, I don't know about any of that. But the political decision was to take the country to war, and now we're paying the consequences of it. Let's go to Robert. Robert's in California. Robert, hi. It's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Good evening, Peter. Yes, talking about train of thoughts, all the different things you're talking about make me think of a lot of different things. One of the things is that I am a committed truth seeker, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, me too, by the way.
Okay, great. Going back to the caller who called in earlier about being a veteran from Vietnam, and I'm also 168-72, a year in Southeast Asia. And this story about being spit on, I flew into San Francisco in 70. Spent 2 years, over 2 years, in service here in California, flying in and out of Sacramento, San Francisco, L.A., in my uniform, different times of day, different times of the night. Never got spit on, never got hassled. I mean, I'm not saying that didn't happen, but I...
Well, how about this, Robert? I'll say it didn't happen. Even though there are there's thousands of men.
Thousands
and thousands of men. There was a book by a columnist that he brought it up, and he got 1,000 letters. This was before email, I mean, maybe 10 years ago or so, before there was... So people took the time to sit down and type out letters talking about how they'd been spit on. But I have to say, one of the things, and I was talking to one man, you probably heard that the other night, where he said the public spit on Vietnam veterans. So it's like all the public spit on all the Vietnam returning veterans. So... usually what I do when I ask guys, I say, how How many people do you think were spit on? And they usually go, huh? I said, well, you said that you presented like a mass phenomena. Was there 10? Was there 1,000? Were there 10,000 people spit upon? I mean, if it was 10, it's not a phenomena at all. It's just some a-holes that were, acting way out of line. They probably got their butt beat by the guy they spit on, right?
Probably, no doubt. I would think they would, yes.
But there is never, in any of the accounts at the time, if they had anything like approaching a mass phenomena, it would have been in the paper because the media was all hostile to the anti-war demonstrators. I don't know if I said this on the air, but the only recorded accounts of GIs being spit upon were ones that were active duty anti-war GIs that were in anti-war demonstrations and were spit upon by right-wingers.
That's probably true.
Yeah. And
well,
I don't know.
Talking about also being a veteran, people who don't get it, I cannot believe that the VFW and the American Legion both have resolutions supporting the war in Iraq as a central stage for the war on terrorism. And the fact that they gave Rumsfeld, the Dwight Eisenhower Award the other day for his contributions to our national defense is offensive.
Wait,
I'm a VFW member, and I'm offended by it.
Well, particularly, I think Dwight D. Eisenhower would be offended, too, particularly since he was talking about the military-industrial complex. And what typifies that more than this current gang of thieves and gangsters and liars. Robert, I got to get out of here for tonight, so I want to thank you for being our last caller, and I'm sorry.
I also want to say that I grew up in Lansing. My dad was UAW Local 652.
Solidarity, my friend. All right, and so that does finish it for tonight. I got one more night on Air America. I mean, I hope not for the rest of my life, but for this tenure. And so it's been a pleasure. I hope you will join me tomorrow. Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. Let's talk tomorrow night.
Save you. Save me. That's the way. On pray. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on walking.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.